Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name's Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to look at hope, harvest, and the nature of evil. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this time together in your word. God, we are so grateful that you are a very present help to us always, that you are always with us, encouraging us. Thank you, Father God, that we may find something in the scriptures today with which we may encourage ourselves and press toward the mark of the high calling. Thank you for this time together. We ask you to bless it and bless us to your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, I know maybe a little bit different title than you've heard before. Hope, harvest, and the nature of evil. I know we could go on with a whole lot of other things about it. But I just had been, several things have been going through my mind lately, and I know that this is a very difficult time for a lot of people. And it's just, it's always kind of hard to get our feet under us sometimes. And it's kind of ironic that what one of the great mysteries, one of the great spiritual mysteries to me, which I really just always ponder, is this nature of change. Change. It fascinates me. What prompts it? What drives it? That God always encourages us to change. Change is the nature of life itself. Nothing stays the same. And He encourages us. He promotes it. He facilitates our change. Yet He Himself is unchangeable. Yet the nature of Him growing in us is the nature of change. So I find that very intriguing. Right now is a difficult time for a lot of people. We've had to adjust to so many changes, and you finally get set on one thing, and then something else changes, and you have to get adjusted to that. And it's just as exhausting sometimes, isn't it? But anyway, during this, I've also noticed that some of my friends, some people close to me, have mentioned that feeling of an enemy, feeling an attack on them. And, you know, sometimes it may not be the case, but sometimes it is, and it's good to acknowledge that. Then, you know, what do we do about that? So we're going to look at several places before. Some of these scriptures, of course, we have covered at other times in other ways, and maybe we hadn't. But I just want us to bring a different look to it that may be useful to you where you are today. Amen. So, you know, as I said, we have always looking at this thing of change. The constancy of change is an incredible spiritual reality. And during this time, well, of course, I have finally been able to go see some of my patients and visit with them and pray for them, read scripture to them. And one sweet lady, you know, I know she just was hungry to hear scripture. She has trouble reading. So she was just hungry to hear scripture. So I just read and I asked her if she had a preference. She didn't care. And I just turned to a place that I thought, you know, when somebody knows the scriptures, some of these places we may not always read from. We don't always have to read Psalm 23. We don't always have to read the Lord's Prayer. We don't always. Some of this stuff is very just nice to hear these words roll over for us. And so I turned to a passage in Matthew. And I thought to myself, you know, for the program, I thought, you know what? I've not actually ever gotten on the subject, the kingdom of God. And I know it's been done by so many folk, but I don't think we've ever done it here. We're not going to do it today, but that kind of where it started. I started by reading this parable, and some things stuck out to me. And so as I read it, when I read it, I thought, you know, we need to look into those. So I've been pondering that. So we're in Matthew chapter 13, and then some other things have come through my head that made me ponder other things. So we'll kind of cobble it all together today. And what we need this time is hope, isn't it? But we also need to be aware of the nature of evil. It's easy to get focused on that, and it's easy to completely avoid it, but to have it as a healthy part of what we know and how we live, we need to be aware. So we're in Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at some of the parables of Jesus, actually two of them. There's one, and then I'm just throwing the other one in for free. Matthew chapter 13, he talks about Jesus shares some of the parables of the kingdom of God. So we're going to start with Matthew chapter 13. Let's read verses 24. Amen. And go on down. We'll probably go on down and cover the next parable after that. The parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. There's some things I'll point out. The man sowed good seed in his field. Number one, it's his field. Number two, the seed he sowed was good. Number three, he sowed it. He sowed good seed in his field. And that's pretty much what all of us do. We have a field that belongs to us. Our life, our mind belongs to us. And we sow good seed into it. We don't just expect to eat the fruit. I remember Isaiah. That was one I pondered for a long time. He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. They all come from the same grain. But some people, I grumbled one time asking God, well, how come? How come I have to always be a sower? How come? You know, I saw it, that there are some people that God just feeds them. They just come around and he feeds them. But there are others, he gives us grain and he says, now you go out there, sow that, tend it, weed it, water it, harvest it, come back and grind it, now make bread. And it's like, but God, why can't I just be like them who just eat? It's all grain. Some people are sowers and some people are just eaters. They just eat, okay? So God takes care of both of them. If I were God, which thank God I'm not, some of you would be here and it's like, well, I gave you seed. If you didn't sow it, I'm more like the parable of the little red hen. You weren't here around for this. You weren't around for that, so you don't get to eat. But he gave seed to the sower. If you have seed in your hand, you know what that tells me about you? You are a sower. Amen. You are a sower. If you just put your hand out and bread's in it, well, bless it. God will feed you. But he knows you're not a sower. You're just an eater. And so the world is full of eaters and sowers. And I can tell by what's in my hand. But that's not a title of like, ooh, you're a sorcerer. Mm-mm. It's a title of work. You know, my father was really a smart man for being a not very spiritual man. But I remember when he wanted to give me my first car, and he said, well, but can you afford it? And I thought, you're giving it to me. And he taught me, if you can't afford to maintain something, then you can't afford to own it. If I give this to you, now you will be responsible for gas, for insurance, for maintenance, for oil changes, for everything that it requires. You're the one that can you afford to have me give it to you? Amen. So, kingdom of God is like unto a man who had good seed and he sowed it. We get onto this thing of mustard seed. And a lot of times, well, I'll save it for that. Let's go on. But while men slept, you might want to underline that one. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. I told you that my friend is so good with you. I'm so good at weeding. I'm horrible at it. But a lot of it is when things are coming up, we have to recognize my friend, her nephew came over and helped her out, you know, as a little birthday gift to do some stuff in her yard. And he was being helpful weeding out things. And but he took this whole area and cleaned it off, thinking that that was all weeds. And what it was is it was actually some things she had planted from the year before. But we just watched it because he meant well. But we don't always know, you know, unless somebody shows me, you know, there's a little patch and she pulled all this other stuff out. She left these two little things. She goes, those are my columbines that I had planted, you know, a couple of years ago, and they continue to reseed themselves. And it's like she can tell. Well, most of us can't. Amen. So they grow up when they're just a little blade of grass. They look the same. You can't tell them apart. But when they grow, then they begin to bear fruit. When they bear fruit, then you can tell what are the tares and what is the wheat. You know, amen? So that's what happened. When did it happen? While men slept. Oh, so many things happen when we're kind of looking the other way. I was thinking about this whole thing with, you know, well, I won't go into details, I guess, but so many things happen while we're looking the other way. We didn't mean to do that. It's all of a sudden it snuck up on us. Amen. You know, that happens. Well, during this pandemic, you don't realize it, but all of a sudden, oops, 5-10 pounds has snuck up on you. You knew better than that. You just didn't do anything about it, right? You get your credit card bill. Well, it's got a few more charges on there. You remember, it's like, oops. It happened when you were looking. You did it. You were looking the other way. You weren't paying attention to that. While we sleep, sometimes things sneak in on us. Amen. So while men slept, the enemy came and did that. So the hurt servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, did you not sow good seed in thy field? From whence have these tares come? It's like it's your field, it's your seed, and you did the sowing. So how did these things show up? Sometimes it might feel like that. It's like, man, I did right, and I intentionally did right, and I watched it, and all of a sudden something is coming from somewhere else. And I love this line. And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. I just love that. An enemy hath done that. Part of it is recognizing when you have an enemy. Now, there are people who can make an entire ministry about finding an enemy in everything. Well, sometimes you look in the mirror, I found the enemy, and it is me. I just plain didn't do that, you know. But on the other hand, there are people who can be so oblivious to the fact that we have an enemy that the enemy can run rag all over us, okay? So it's somewhere in between, and I haven't spent a lot of time talking about these things on purpose because I don't want to, it's a thin line. But when you know you have an enemy, and when you are aware when the enemy has come, Then you have the battle is acknowledging it. The man heard this and he said, an enemy hath done this. Amen. The servant said unto him, well, do you want us to go gather him up? And he said, no. See, the word of knowledge was an enemy did this, but a word of wisdom is what to do about it. He said, nay, let them gather up the tares. Don't gather up the tares, lest you also root up the wheat with them. Listen, there are so many people in ministry. I was thinking of a pastor, actually a bishop, for which I have such incredibly high regard. But he can be ruthless about people being around him. And if he feels, you know, that he's suspicious that you may not be of the best, then, boy, he kind of roots you out. And that's fine. That's his revelation. I'm not going to quarrel with him. But a lot of people know, as pastors do, that a lot of times you just have to put up with some folk that just are kind of a headache. But we don't know until they grow up and bear fruit which ones are our heritage, which ones do we gather into our barns, and which ones should we get rid of. Sometimes the people who just seem to drive you the most bonkers end up being the most precious crown in your jewel, if I can use a very bad metaphor. The people that mean so much, and it's like you look back and it's like, oh man, how what effort I had to put in for that. So what he told him is, he said, the word of knowledge was an enemy has done this. The word of wisdom was, let them grow together until they begin to bear fruit, and then we will know who's who. Verse 3, let them grow together till they harvest, and at the time of harvest. Okay, we talked about hope and harvest. There is no reason for hope unless there's a harvest. If you have no potential for a harvest, then there is nothing for hope. And so much of why we have a right to hope is because there is a harvest. Even if you don't see it, even if you don't see its potential, even if all it is seed in the ground, hasn't budded yet, hasn't grown at all, but there's hope because there is a harvest. Look at each one of these parables of the kingdom of God. I'm gonna move on because I'll get to it and you'll see it yourself. Okay, when verse 30, let them both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest, you'll say to the reapers, gather together the first tares, bind them, and burn them. Gather, bind, and burn. If you want an outline for insight in the spirit, you gather, bundle, burn. All right, I'm not even going to go any farther there because that's not what today's lesson is, believe it or not. Then in bundles and burn them. Then gather the wheat into my barn. That's the harvest. So I'm going to quickly read this next parable because there's something I want you to see in it. Another parable said he put forth unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed. Oh, we do love that one, don't we? Oh, the kingdom of is like a mustard seed. And we put a little, you remember those things we got as little kids, those little charms with a little mustard seed in them. Well, we kind of are missing the actual whole point of the parable. The kingdom of God is like unto a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. The mustard seed you wear on a charm is not like the kingdom, because we don't wear the kingdom, oh hallelujah, like a charm around our neck or our wrist. We don't refer to it as if it were this sort of little magic talisman. It is not the mustard seed around your neck that the kingdom of God is like unto. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed that the man sowed. Amen. The parable before, he took good seed and he sowed it. Though what we call the parable of the sower is, you know, the Son of Man did what? He sowed this. There's a difference, too, between seed. I won't go into farming today, but some of you have some farming background. Some of you think that food comes wrapped in saran. But when you plant something, there are two different ways. you can plant like in a row, like dig a little hole, put it in there. And then there's scatter, like the way you do grass seed. There are two different methods of planting. And it's the same thing with fishing. There are two different methods of fishing. You put a hook and a bait to catch a particular fish, or you take a net and haul all the fish in. Amen. So there are two different ways of planting. But in you've got good seed, and you've got a field that's your field, and you sow it. You plant it. If you just keep the good seed in the cupboard or in the barn and keep it closed up because you're afraid you'll lose it, that remember that it's what you give away is what you keep. If you don't sow that seed, you will not reap a harvest. And that is why I wanted to read this second one, so we understand something about the kingdom of heaven. It must be the kingdom of heaven is like unto a seed sown. It's like unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. It's like unto, you know, the sower sows, you know, seed on good ground, seed on rocky soil, some and da-da-da-da, choked with weeds. It goes on and on. But all the seed is sowed. And so there are people who feel like that if we keep the seed pure and reserved and never touch it and never, you know, do anything with it, that is not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a field, is like a seed sowed. Amen. Anyway, so I just wanted to read that second one because the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which when a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it's the greatest among herbs, it becomes a tree, so the birds of the air lodge in the branches thereof. There's a commonality here. There's got to be a field. There's got to be a seed. But the seed has to be sown. And when it's sown, it grows. Remember we talked in the other parables about 30, 60, 100 fold. The point was the seed grew. The seed came to harvest. When there's a harvest, we have a reason to hope. Amen? So I wanted to just read that as the foundation. I know that's kind of a long introduction, isn't it? But hope and harvest, we sow. Now, sometimes an enemy has done this. I love that line. Because we are aware of the enemy. We maybe were sleeping when he came. But when it comes back around, we recognize the master told them, an enemy has done this. But the enemy was long gone, wasn't he? He sowed it and left. Now you're left with the results of it. Now you're left with the consequences of it. Now you're left with the problem of it. Amen? But we're going to deal with that too. Then I'm going to read for us a passage in John, because we're talking about the nature of evil. And we're going to go back to an Old Testament story that I know I've shared before, at least I know I preach it so much, I presume I've shared it on here. But anyway, but here's something I want us to understand about the nature of evil. Remember that the enemy came, sowed it. Wednesday. Okay, we're going to come back to John in a little bit. But right now I want us to move over quickly to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 9 is one of my favorite places. I won't give you the whole background, but after the sons of the sons of Gideon, you know, they killed each other, da da da. We got one of them. Okay, and now we've got, and the men of Shechem and Abimelech was a bad guy. They break out in war against each other. They double cross each other. It's not something you really want to read. Verse 23, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Okay, so the sons of Jerubbaal, you know, which was, you know, who Jerubbaal is, Gideon, and so they come back for it, but it's using his pagan name because they're doing a lot of pagan stuff. Verse 25, the men of Shechem set liars in wait for him at the top of the mountain. They robbed all, came along, and it was told Abimelech. So what does he do? He goes out and gathers his troops, and they start just doing bad stuff to each other. And one time what Abimelech does, so he goes to this one place, and he cuts down all their crops, burns their fields, and then goes, yeah, that was good. So he goes to the next place and cuts down all their crops, and they do one more, then they run into a tower, okay? And would to God these people, verse 29, were under my hand, then I would remove Abimelech and Abimelech increase thy army and come out. So it's the war is escalating. Amen. Evil escalates. That's kind of where we're going to go with this. So anyway, now they go to this next field, this next place, in the plains of Moab, and they go there, kind of trying to proofread this real quick, so that Abimelech's folks come there, and Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward, stood in the entry of the gate of the city, and the two companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and slew them. Verse 44. So he burned the fields and it kills the people. Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city, slew the people that was therein, and beat down the city. Now watch this next phrase. We're in verse 45. And he sowed it with salt. Remember that phrase. We're going to get back to it because it's going to be a key scripture for us today. So anyway, so what they then do is they run into this strong tower. Well, what happens is, verse 48, Abimelech got him on the mount. The people took an axe in his hand, and he cut down a bow of the trees, and took it and laid it on his shoulder and said unto the people that were with him, do what I just did. Go cut wood. And they did. And the people likewise cut down, verse 49, every man his bow, and followed Abimelech and put it on hold. They all got their big branches on their shoulders. They set fire so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also. So it had continued to escalate, hadn't it? So he'd been killing people and destroying crops. He gets to this place, and now it has gotten farther and farther along, hasn't it? So now what he's doing is he's burning the fields. The people run into this tower to be safe, and he salts the field. Remember that. He salts the field. They're all in there. So what he does now is take branches, leans it up against the tower, and burns them all alive in there. Guy's getting kind of out of hand. So he keeps coming along. So you see that what we're seeing is an escalation of his tactics, an escalation of the evil. I'll get back to that thing of the salted field a little bit. But verse 50, this is where I like it, because now comes the hope. Hope, harvest, and the nature of evil. We've talked about let's look at hope. See, the part of what I wanted to share, I love that scripture from the man. It's one of the saddest things I know in the scriptures is when the king's minister comes and they want to kill the prophet because there's this terrible famine. It's where the four leprous men go, etc. And why sit we here till we die? And they come and now there's a big... But before that, when the women were eating their children and they were crying to the king gets hot and he goes to the prophet's house. The prophet's locked the door and his minister's sitting outside. And the prophet now's got a word. Sometimes you don't get the word when you want it. You may not even get the word when you think you need it. See, I would have thought that the prophet needed the word when the famine was then. I also think the prophet could have used the word when the people, the citizens, these women are so distressed, they're at that point. But it's when the king got hot and got angry at the king. We aren't angry at the people out there. The king got angry at the prophet. Now, that's just like getting angry at God. It doesn't help you any, does it? So he gets angry. He storms over the prophet and he says, da 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 da. And that's when the word comes to the prophet and he says, about this time tomorrow. Oh man, there's no scripture better for hope. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care how awful it looks. I don't care what's happening around you. So much can change at the word of the Lord with that word of hope about this time tomorrow. Not just that hope will come sometime, someday, way down the road, this, but there is hope for tomorrow. I don't necessarily promising you it'll happen tomorrow, but about this time tomorrow, this could be happening to you. That was the word from the prophet. The king got so angry, and now the word of the Lord comes. Sometimes it's just when you feel that heat yourself that God will give you that word. And he rose up and he said, let me tell you about this time tomorrow. Those, although you're complaining about all that food shortage, which is now beginning to happen in our country, isn't it? Some foods are short. Some things are short of paper towels and hand wipes and so many other things. And now we're going to be short of ground beef. And I went to the store today just to get a couple of things, and I picked up a package of Kleenexes, and they were small packets, so I took a second one. I got stopped at the register. I'm sorry, you can only have one. Okay, sure, that's fine. But it's like we're rationing out Kleenex. We're rationing out these things. Food is getting short. We aren't cutting up our own kids yet, but, you know, there's nothing left. But, you know, and when you read that one, now I should have covered them all today. But the men sitting at the gate were as good as dead, yet they rose up out of desperation, anger, frustration, desperation. I'm not afraid of any of those things because sometimes they fuel hope. Sometimes they fuel deliverance. Sometimes they fuel victory. Sometimes they fuel that prophetic word from God. I don't care about this time tomorrow. God is still God. Amen. And so the minister, I was getting around to the minister who got kind of smarmy about it and Well, if God made windows of heaven, could such a thing be? Ooh, you got to, don't be playing with God. You know, it's one thing when it's you're playing with other people, but when our leadership or whoever it is starts using God as part of that whole thing, you better watch out. If God made windows of heaven, oh, excuse me, but my Bible says there are windows of heaven. Those are the ones God opened for Noah. Those are the ones that God opened, in, he talks about it in Malachi. There are windows of heaven, and he can open them whenever he wants. If God made windows of heaven, and the prophet looked at him and gave him a word. All these people want a word from God. I don't always want a word from God. The word was, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it. Ooh, what a word. Anyway, so I better keep them moving along. So we're still back with Abimelech and the men of Shechem. So now he has escalated this thing that he is burning the crops, amen, and he is sowing the fields with salt. Oh, and the men and women have run into the tower. But he remembers he's already escalated beyond this, so he's going to burn them out, isn't he? Because he already learned how to do that. That's past tense. That's what he's still going to do. Ooh. But there was a little old nameless woman. I love this part. I this part I like preaching the best, so I'll say it quick and get it over with because we aren't looking at all of it. She ran out of her house. When you run out of your house, what do you take that's of value to you? You know, well, you want to make for sure that everybody living there is safe. You may want to take the pets out. Maybe you want to grab your mother's pearls because those are precious to the family. Or maybe you want to grab your papers so you have your, you know, all your documents or whatever. We grab for something that has meaning to us or has purpose or has value, don't we? You know? But she's running out of the house. I don't know what other people are taking. Maybe they were taking the money. That ain't going to help them. Maybe they were taking something. It didn't going to help. Some were just running out with nothing. But this gal tucked her grinding stone under her arm, kind of her blender. Amen. She stuck her Cuisinart under her arm and ran. Maybe that's what she did for a living because that's Even now in Africa, that's what some, you know, people do. They go to the market and they grind spices for other people, or they blend tomato and pepper for other people, or they may grind things for other people, and that's how they make their living. That may have been her way of supporting herself. But she grabs that thing, she climbs up in the tall tower. This man who had decimated whole communities, who has murdered hundreds of people, he climbs up, and he's not up, but one nameless little woman who climbed up on top of that tower, leaned out, and dropped that stone, and it killed him. Oh my gosh. All his great plans were frustrated, came to naught, the same way that the king and the minister, it was four leprous men, four men as good as dead, said, why should we sit here till we die? It's sometimes those little things we do are the things that bring the greatest deliverance. And therefore, they were not burned out of that tower. Okay? But I want to go back to that, because what you want to see, because as much as I love her and as much as I love that moment of just little acts can bring down giants. A little stone brought down David's Goliath, didn't it? And this great Abimelech, this great, you know, leader of the army, oh, who had just decimated all these places, sowed salt in the fields, burned, put wood up against the tower, you know. And so it's not just the Lord is a strong tower, we run in. That's not the end of the scripture. We run in and are safe. It's one thing to run in and hope you're safe. It's something else to run in and know you're safe. Amen. She went up and she dropped that stone on his head and he died. And there's a whole lot more there. But what I want you to see is he went from one thing to another to another. He started by just trying to get back at the men who had betrayed him. And then he keeps going along and he burns crops, and then he burns out people. And then he comes along, he salts these fields, he burns people in their safe tower, and now he salts the field. Why is salting the field so important? I want you to see the progression of Abimelech's evil nature. All right? Now I'm going to open up a scripture that we all quote a lot, but I'm not sure we always stop and think about it. I've asked myself this a lot of times, and I think it's only relatively recently I came to an answer. All of us know John 10:10, don't we? For the thief cometh not, hang on, let me find it. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Ooh, okay, we're going to look at this scripture, because this is really the heart of what it is, because it's the nature of God, but it's also the nature of evil. Let's look at God first on this. He said, I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. You know, none of this, I just want to get, make it into the pearly gates. I'll just camp on that side of it. I'm okay with that. But you see, the nature is that you may have life and have it more abundantly. In other words, it grows, it increases. Tie it back now to our parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who sows a seed. The kingdom is like unto a seed sown by a man. What happens? They grow. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? They grow and they are harvested. The kingdom of God is perpetually increasing. We started out talking about change. Change is inevitable. We serve a change. We are constantly in change. Change is constant while we serve a changeless God. Amen? So change is the very nature of where we are. But the kingdom of God is always changing, because it's always increasing. It's always growing. Amen? The kingdom of God is like unto a man who sows seed, and it grows, and then he harvests, doesn't he? It's like a man who sows. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which when it is planted, if it isn't planted, nothing happens. But when it is planted, there's not, well, maybe it'll grow, maybe it won't. When it is planted, it grows. And when it grows, there's a fruit from it. There's an abundance. We know about the wheat will be gathered in. In the mustard seed, it talks about how it gives shelter to all the birds. Amen? So there's something that produced from it. It doesn't grow just to grow. I live in an area where there's a lot, well, there's a lot of produce. There's a lot of tomatoes, farms, etc. But there's also a lot of orchards. You know, we have a lot of apples here. We have a lot of other things, you know, and it was my privilege to get to know one man. He has since died. But he had an orchard, and he was marvelous at grafting. His daughter told me the secret of how he, you know, would talk to them about grafting. You take a strong, sturdy trunk, and the fruit of that may taste rotten, but you graft onto it sweet fruit, and that tree grows and bears fruit. It takes years. I was kind of weeping as I drove by one place the other day because it was an orchard that I saw the trees had been cut down. They were removing the trees from the orchard. When you plant them, it doesn't happen right away. They have to grow, and some, depending on the kind, how many years, and then it bears fruit. Amen? The kingdom of heaven is not like the seed that springs up and then dies down. There's fruit from it. Amen? So that's that part of it. But I want to talk about this other part. This is what's excited me, because we need to understand the nature of evil. We understand hope. We can hope because there is a harvest. If it's from the kingdom of God, I guarantee it will increase. And when it increases, I guarantee there will be harvest. Whether it's wheat or whether it's fruit from a tree, regardless, whether there is something that will come of it, it produces something. This is Jesus saying, "The thief cometh not but for steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life." Oh, and have it more abundantly. Meaning even that has to continue to increase. Got that? But now we're looking at the nature of evil. Remember how we talked about the enemy came, sowed, went, and then it continued. The evil continued to grow up. The tares continued to grow up with the good until the time of harvest. We've looked now at Abimelech, not one of my favorite guys, but he started out taking revenge on men who betrayed him. Then he started marching through and just destroying crops and destroying people. Then he started going on, and he destroyed crops. People ran into a barricade to be safe. He burnt them down. Then he went to the next place, was going to do the same with them, and he salted their fields. Do you see, the same way the kingdom of God increases, so does evil. Evil increases. Let me tell you about the salting of the field. The purpose of salting the field is so that not only did he destroy the crop for this year, but he was destroying the field. Oh, so that no matter what you plant from this point on, it will not grow. Wow, that's pretty awful. It's one thing if you're a farmer and you have a bad crop. Last year was bad. We had too much rain. They couldn't get in to get them, and then they got too cold too early. They couldn't get in. It was just terrible on both ends. But the thing about farmers is they always have hope. Next year's crop will be good. So anyway, but when you've salted the field, then they have no hope of anything down the line. Do you understand? So the nature of evil is how it increases. Amen? It increases. Now we're going to look at this scripture that you have read 100,000 times, like me. The thief cometh not. We see God's side. It's going to increase. But let's look at the thief. He cometh not but for steal, kill, and destroy. Let's look at him for a moment. I've always used to see that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Quite some time ago, I got an insight into that. That, you know, I would think if you were going to put that order in, you'd say steal, you know, order from least to worst, steal, destroy, kill, as though kill being the worst thing. But I long ago uncovered something, that the worst thing, you can kill me, but don't destroy me. Oh, what is that? All of us want to leave some kind of legacy. For many people, their children are their legacy. For other people, it may be a business is their legacy. That's why this time is so hard for people who've labored for their businesses. And they literally, it's like they're not concerned for them, but they want the business to survive. It's a legacy thing. Many pastors, they want to find the right person to pass it on to. Why was Elijah more productive than Elisha? Elijah passed on his ministry to Elisha. But who did Elisha leave it to? Gehazi, the man who was cursed, the man who got leprosy for his greed. That man was a mess. So we look to what happens beyond me. Do I leave a legacy? That's why there are things that are worse than death, aren't there, when you stop and think about it? There are things that if my legacy is that someone else's faith is increased, I'd rather die than have that not be case. That's what we see with the Apostle Paul when he talks about he's ready to go and be with the Lord, but it's needful for you that I stay, because those people were his legacy. Amen? His writing was his legacy. If something had come and had so defamed him, so disgraced him, so discredited him that no one wanted to read his writings, that's, again, if we look at it, what happened with Judas. Because Judas, it's not just that he died, but he was destroyed in that he was discredited, and his lot was given to another, right? Matthias. I'm jumping all over. Now we're in the book of Acts. But I want you to see, I'd seen that before. I understood that. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I understood that progression. That is the natural progression. You can steal my riches, but as long as I'm alive, then I can go on. But you can even kill me, but as long as that which is more important to me, look at Hezekiah, given another 15 years, yet he didn't do anything with him, did he? Life is not as important as legacy. Amen. So steal, kill, destroy is the right progression. Here's what I didn't see before this. The thief. Come. What do thieves come to do? Steal. Okay. Then why didn't he just steal? Because the nature of evil is progressive, the same way the nature of the kingdom is progressive. I'm come to have life, and life more abundantly, more and more and more and more. Life continues to multiply, doesn't it? As we can see with this virus, it continues to multiply. So it is too with evil. It multiplies. That's why we went back and looked at Abimelech. First, he just wanted to get even with the people who were bad to him. Then he wanted to start marauding. Then he wanted to murder and maraud. Then he wanted to destroy, murder, maraud, and salt the fields. Let me tell you, there comes a point when God said, enough is enough. Remember the children of Israel. I am rounding this up. I apologize. I'm just having too good a time. The children of Israel, they were in bondage in Egypt, and the Pharaoh looked out at them, and he said, you know what? They're doing so good. You know what? I'm going to make it worse. I'm going to make them make bricks, but they also have to gather their own straw. It's like insult to injury, but there comes a point where you step one step too far. When Abimelech salted the fields, that was it. And God used some little old widow woman with a Cuisinart under her arm to bring down that great giant of evil, because of evil will escalate. The same way Jesus didn't say the murderer comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said the thief. The thief, he started out as just a thief. What does a thief do? A thief steals. But when he's given, he escalates. Then he escalated to murder. Then he escalated to worse than that, to be a destroyer. So I want you just to understand today, when Jesus, an enemy has done this, we have an enemy. And that's not where my focus is today. But you need to understand it will continue. It increases. but the kingdom of God increases. The kingdom of God is like unto a mustard seed sown. And when it grows to be this great and mighty thing. It's not the mustard seed, it's the mustard tree. Amen. There's more growth in you. Plant, 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 plant. Good old American Johnny Appleseed just went through the countryside planting trees. Till today, there's a legacy. You could have stopped him, but just don't stop his trees. There are apples all across Pennsylvania because of Johnny Appleseed. He sowed wherever he went. So even when he was gone, people ate the fruit of it. Evil is the same. An enemy has done this. He sowed those tares and left. And now they continue to increase, increase, increase. But don't worry about it, because the angels are the ones that know how to gather. They'll gather the tares. They'll bundle and burn, won't they? And the fruit, the wheat, will be gathered into the barn. I want to just encourage you today that there is hope for all of us because there is a harvest. But be aware of the nature of evil. It grows. It grows. It gets bigger. A thief becomes a murderer. A murderer becomes a destroyer. Amen. The thief cometh but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But God sent the Lord into our lives. Why? That we may have life and have it more abundantly. I know I've gone on a little long today, so hopefully you're at home a little bit more with this and you've got a little extra time. But I just wanted to share this with you, that you have an understanding of hope and the harvest, and that you also are aware of the nature of evil. An enemy has done this, but let me tell you, just you let it go, doesn't matter, because the harvest is truly plenteous, and it's laborers that are few. Let's be laborers in this field of harvest. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we spent together. Thank you for encouraging us all, reminding us of that we have hope because we're part of the harvest. Thank you, Father God, for covering us by the blood of Jesus, keeping us healthy, keeping us safe, and keeping us useful to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Looking forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986.
We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him.